Aye.
Lombard.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
O'Hara.
Aye.
Smith.
No.
Springer.
Aye.
Rutherford.
Aye.
Chairman Myers.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Lombard. Move House Joint Memorial 13 to the floor without recommendation.
Further discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Corbin.
No.
Hill.
No.
Lombard.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Scovaro.
No.
Smith.
No.
Springer.
No.
Rutherford.
Aye.
Chairman Myers.
No.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Springer.
I'd move to table House Joint Memorial 13.
Representative Springer moves to table House Joint Memorial 13. Call the roll.
Representative Corbin.
Yes.
Hill.
Aye.
Lombard.
No.
Miller.
No.
Scovaro.
Yes.
Smith.
No.
Springer.
Aye.
Rutherford.
No.
Chairman Myers.
Aye.
Tabled House Bill 2544.
This bill would establish an Office of Administrative Hearing, put its own independent director, and basically pull all members of agencies who are presently acting in a hearings officer or administrative law judge capacity into this one office, which would be independent from the agencies whose cases they're hearing. The bill also contains a number of conforming amendments to existing statutes. There was a hearing on the bill on March 22nd, at which time I believe the governor's office stated that it opposed the bill and didn't present any recommendations or alternative recommendations at that time. At the work session on April 26th, Subcommittee 2 voted to recommend that this bill be put into an interim study.
The chair would move that the committee authorize the chair to include the proposal of which is House Bill 2544 as a part of the work plan for the interim committee on the judiciary to be prepared by the chair and vice chair of that committee and submitted to the presiding officer for approval. Is there any objection to that motion? Okay. Is this bill tabled?
No, not till May 23rd. Okay.
I think the bill itself may as well go on the table since that doesn't affect the recommendation that's already been adopted. So the chair would move that House Bill 2544 be tabled. Call the roll.
Representative Courtney.
Yes.
Hill.
No.
Lombard.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Scovaro.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Springer.
Aye.
Rutherford.
Aye.
Chairman Myers.
Aye.
2731.
This bill comes from, I think, Representative Young and Woodruff. Find my copy of it here. Require the clerk of the circuit courts to take certain steps to ensure that there are minorities on juries proportionate to the number in the county, and to seek the advice of minorities in determining the information to do this.
Yeah.
Subcommittee 2 heard generally favorable testimony on the bill in a hearing on March 8th. At that time, it was noted that I believe State Court Administrator Betsy Belshaw stated that she realized that this was an issue that needed to be addressed. She was concerned that the bill didn't get at the whole problem and also implied certain procedural activities that didn't represent what was actually happening in the preparation of jury lists in various counties and so forth, and also noted that the bill really only went to circuit courts. So her suggestion, I think her suggestion, was that she be allowed to work it out with all the interested parties. Other issues were raised as well, including the problem of smoking in jury rooms, the problems of deaf and handicapped jurors, and then the issue of minorities on juries. Subcommittee two voted at work session to recommend that this issue be submitted to the State Court Administrator with a request that she report back to the 1985 session with any, to investigate, report back to the next session with any recommendations for needed legislation, since many of these things can be done without legislation.
Chair would so move. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Chair would move that the bill be tabled. House Bill 2731. Call roll.
Senator Courtney?
Yes.
No.
Lombard?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Rivera?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Rivera?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
Granville?
Aye. Okay, I want to skip for just a moment to the group of sentencing bills for a brief update before we take the last two or three bills on the work session, the other bills, rather. I am working to schedule a meeting on Wednesday of various interested parties with respect to the issues of consecutive sentencing and anti-merger, and I hope by the work session on Wednesday afternoon to be able to report to the committee some progress in the direction of a development of amendments to the bills that are before us, geared in the direction that I charted out before in general terms, which was to seek some kind of standards or controls which would apply to the imposition of consecutive sentencing by the trial courts, and also to determine to what extent that approach would help to obviate or resolve some of the problems, at least in the merger area. So I'm saying to you, along with the way, I don't have anything yet to report, but will have by the next work session on Wednesday. Now, that embraces the issues that are raised presently by 2267, 2268. I am prepared to move at this time to table 28. I was going to say 2811. Double check. I'm prepared to table 2811 if there's no objection on the part of the committee, and the issues it raises, if we wish to pursue them at all, can be taken up in the context of one of the other bills. Chair would so move. Call the roll.
Representative Courtney?
Yes.
Hill?
Aye.
Lombard?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Aye.
Smith? Aye.
Branham?
Aye.
Chairman
Myers? Aye. Table. Discussions I'll be working with also will address the issue raised by 2896 in terms of the court's power dealing with probation after a period of imprisonment. And the objective there off of the initial work session will be to report back a recommendation to the committee with respect to the length of confinement, the limit on the length of confinement, which can be followed by probation. That being one of the major thrusts that was put to us in the initial work session. Mr. Gruber is also presently drafting and refining a draft to amend House Bill 2087 to present to the committee the Judge Hargrave's proposal or concept which was laid out. That draft will also embody certain other features of a drafting request that we sent down as a committee probably a month to a month and a half ago, which some of you may or may not remember. It would include a change in the name of the board, parole to the board of prison terms, and supervised release. It would rename parole as a concept, it would rename it supervised release, it with certain other changes. We'll eventually have that before us for consideration in the development of a total package of amendments that probably would go, to the extent they go a single bill in 2018. Okay, let's take up 2492 first, the identification of Deputy's bill.
Mr. Chair, if I may, on the sentencing bills, I had a number of materials which I could distribute to members later to avoid shuffling paper around now, but if I could mention for the record which ones I'm going to be sending around.
Sure, I'm sorry.
There's first of all a packet from the Inmate Legislative Committee, the inmates at Oregon State Penitentiary on a number of bills, including 2810, 2811, 2812, 2813, 2814, 2816, 2817, and 2828. I have a fiscal impact statement on House Bill 2837, a fiscal impact statement on House Bill 2388, a letter of March 14th to Chairman Hardy Myers on House Bill 2388 from Chris Van Dyke on behalf of the ODAA in strong opposition to House Bill 2388. And on House Bill 2819, I have a fiscal impact statement of the American Civil Liberties Union in opposition to House Bill 2819, and a letter from Michael Curtis of March 20th addressed to Representative Hardy Myers raising a number of questions involving 2819 in regards to its constitutionality and the provision of counsel, whether such counsel would be required to, whether the state would be required to compensate counsel of indigent inmates if they were to appear at parole board hearings, and whether if the district attorney was allowed to appear, whether that meant that defense counsel should be able to appear, and a number of other related issues.
Incidentally, Linda sent me a note earlier that House Bill 2388 dealing with pre-sentence investigations had been tabled by rule. I don't know what the committee's ultimate action is, but I'd like to take it off the table so that it's properly appearing on our agenda as a matter before us. The chair would so move House Bill 2388 be taken from the table. Is there any objection? Okay, it's on table. 2492.
Committee members, you may recall that this bill was passed by the full committee to the floor with amendments on April 11th. Subsequent to passing that bill out, some questions came up from the Oregon Medical Association, and there was a meeting following those objections with Representative Shirley Davidson from the LEDs, Scott Gallant from the Oregon Medical Association, Representative of the State Police, Representative Myers and myself, and perhaps I'm leaving out someone, but in any case, the committee made a number of changes that related to those concerns, and they're basically found on page 2 of the proposed amendments. What the changes that the committee made, this was to remind you the dead bodies, missing persons matchup bill and tying into the federal system. One of the changes is in subsection 2 of section 3, and the point of the change is to establish that the police agency would request from the person that makes the report of a missing person whatever identifying information that person can provide. and that the police agency may request records from a dentist, medical practitioner, and so forth. As it was before, it would have left it open so that the individual reporting the missing person could have been the one going to the doctor or dentist or whatever. This tightens it up, restricts it to just if needed and by the police agency. Section 4 is amended along that, those same ways. That's the provision that would have let a parent, spouse, or guardian request that information from a medical practitioner, dentist, and so forth. On page 3 of the amendments, further amendments to section 4 would provide that the information obtained under that section would be restricted for use for identifying missing persons or human remains, and more explicitly would not otherwise be available for public access. And finally, a new subsection there would specifically state that compliance with a request for information from a doctor, dentist, medical practitioner, and so forth would not constitute a breach of confidentiality of the patient.
Any questions?
Chair, move House Bill 2492 as amended be reported with a due pass recommendation.
Those amendments have been made to the bill.
Yes, they were adopted by the subcommittee.
Well, these are amended amendments.
Yeah, it's
coming back to the full committee.
I think we
brought it back for additional amendments. I don't think we've passed the additional amendments. Now, we took it back, reconsidered it in subcommittee.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they adopted the bill amendments, reported the re-amended bill to this committee.
Okay.
Further discussion? Call the roll.
Yes.
Hill.
Aye.
Lombard.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Avera.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Aye.
Rutherford. Aye.
Chairman Meyer.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, should that bill be engrossed? It looks like it's rather extensively amended. Well, it actually substitutes for the whole bill. It deletes the entire text of the other bills.
Okay.
I would think probably we could avoid engrossing. They can just ignore the other bill. Approved. 2262 AG subpoena power.
Mr. Chair, I'm distributing, members of the committee, I'm distributing a hand engrossed version of House Bill 2262 with LC amendments. House Bill 2262-1 dated April 29, 1983. Also a copy of those LC amendments. This bill was sent to the full committee due pass by sub 1. It had been requested by the Department of Justice. It originally gave the Attorney General the power to issue his own subpoenas or subpoena duces tecum on any person or entity thought to have relevant information or materials in any criminal investigation that the AG was conducting. The subpoena could require a person to produce books, paper, other materials, give oral testimony under oath, or both. And the person from whom the testimony or materials was sought could go directly to the circuit court and move to quash or modify the subpoena if it was unreasonable or oppressive. At the April 11th meeting of the full committee, there was initially a vote passing the bill to the floor. There was notice of a possible minority report. Following that, the bill was reconsidered, and a number of different approaches to the possibility of the Attorney General obtaining subpoenas were addressed, and the bill went back to subcommittee, and it's now sent forward with one of the alternatives that the subcommittee considered and is recommending to you in these increased amendments. The one that was settled on by subcommittee one allows the Attorney General to apply to any circuit judge for a subpoena and provides that it shall be issued when it appears to the judge on an affidavit of the Attorney General that the administration of justice so requires. It also provides that the application affidavit of the AG and the subpoena are criminal investigatory materials, which would be only subject to disclosure when there's a finding by the court that the public interest outweighs the need to not disclose. There was one other issue that was brought up, and this was a concern from the Oregon Bankers Association, and that is that there is an existing law of financial privacy section, and it is found at ORS 192-550-595. This section provides specific procedures for financial institutions responding to subpoenas for financial records. It establishes that notice is sent to the customer, that there is a 10-day period before which the financial institution responds to it. There's provisions for reimbursement for the cost of materials. And the concern that was raised, and I've discussed this just previous to this meeting again with Ken Sherman, and it's their request that an amendment be added that would, he suggested language very similar to subsection 3 that would read something like ORS 192-550 to 192-595 apply to subpoenas issued pursuant to this section. I did talk to Bill Gary about this question. He said they have no problem in following the provisions of the Financial Privacy Act, that there was some difference of opinion as to whether those would apply without this amendment. And I think the original position of legislative counsel was that the two don't conflict, and therefore the new provisions allowing the AG to subpoena records would be subject to the provisions of the specific ones having to do with getting financial records from a financial institution. The Bankers Association was concerned that they didn't want to have to go to court to resolve the question of which prevails if it were to arise. And since there was some concern, since this provision is coming in after the provisions of the Financial Privacy Act, that it could be thought that this was meant to replace it. In this case, they do require that, they say that materials in line 8 says that the subpoena or subpoena duces tecum shall require at such reasonable time and places may be stated therein such person to produce documents, etc. And the Financial Privacy Act does have specific provisions on when the material should be supplied. So it is their request that an amendment be added.
What are these sections of the Financial Privacy Act?
ORS 192-550-595.
Let me refresh my recollection. The provisions of ORS that are cited in line 18, which are those now?
Mr. Chair, those refer to by whom a subpoena is served and how it is served, proof of service.
Well, I'm inclined to think that while the legislative council is correct in that the provisions of the Financial Privacy Act would apply absent any reference to them here, and that could be something made clear by legislative history, I think it's important enough that we make it clear by specific amendment, because those protections are rather crucial. So the chair would move that on line 18 of the Hand and Gross bill, following 136-600, we would insert and 192.550 to 192.595. Is there any objection to the amendment? It's adopted. Further discussion of the bill is amended. Is there a motion on the bill as amended?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the bill as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation.
Representative Lombard moves House Bill 2262 as amended be reported to the floor with a two-pass recommendation. Further discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Corbin?
Yes.
Aye.
Lombard?
Aye.
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 No.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. In our last, very increasingly familiar friend, Joe Pryles, we have been in discussions with legislative council attempting to get a totally acceptable version of that bill drafted based upon the policy decision of the subcommittee. I gave a fair amount of thought over the weekend as to how it could be structured. Came in this morning with some suggested approaches, discussed those with council. I think they certainly have still some problem. And I guess the upshot is I don't think at this point we're really ready with a set of amendments that council, and I would suspect the subcommittee, much less the full committee, probably totally comfortable with. We'd hope to have those and not unduly bog down the full committee in at this stage, not convert this into a subcommittee work session. I take it that Mr. Gruber does not have any more back then, does he?
No, I don't have back.
Well, I guess we'll simply carry that until the amendments are ready. We'll probably take those up once more in subcommittee to make sure that we have addressed any technical issues before we bring it to the full committee and engage your time here. That, I believe, is our last pre-trial, or rather, yeah, last bill affecting procedure, criminal procedure up to or including trial other than the insanity defense. Okay. For those members who said that we had scheduled all of May's work on the Monday, when they looked to you, and I would like you to note that we're only 5 minutes off schedule. So. We're going to take about a 5 minute recess here before we begin our subcommittee work sessions. Sub one will be meeting in this room. We will need preferably our six members, and we do have a hearing by sub two in the in room 354.
Sub two will commence at 3:15, Mr. Chairman.
Both sub one and sub two will begin at 3:15.